You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Okay, long announcements, but good. Good stuff coming up. Ha! Worship was amazing today, as always, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jamie and Pastor Bill and Peter and Mike and whoever else was part of that. And Rick. Rick was part of that, sorry. Hello, everybody. Are you going to have fun today? Yeah? You dance in, get a prize if you do. Anybody want that? No. Maybe next time. Oh, there's one. There's Paul. All right. Lord, we just thank you that we're just continuing to hear from you. We desire that, Lord. We desire that what we share today, Lord, would just encourage our hearts, bless your name. It would just totally be the next thing that you have for us. We're asking for that, Lord. May it be today. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that cements all things in our soul. Father, as you're touching our minds, our wills, our emotions with the great exchange of the cross, with the great exchange of the resurrection. Thank you, our spirits are charged this morning, just increasing every day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the impartation, meaning your revelation from heaven just spilling out in us, over us, through us, even when we don't fully yet get it or understand. We're just under the glory spout as you're pouring out. So thank you for that. Touch all these little kiddos today who may not have been able to fully comprehend yet what you did, but yet, Lord, they're here. So thank you for everything. Thank you, Lord, that all the gyrations and jumping and moving to the left and right and all that will lead to a deep hunger for you. Father, that these little ones will hunger after you and crave your presence and not see this place as something that it's not. Father, we desire that they would be presence seekers and that they would become lovers of you in the deepest places, Lord, and they would really encounter you and guard that. Just guard that. Help them, Lord, because you are moving in each one of these little people. We just thank you for that, Lord. We bless your name. Woo-wee. A couple of things. One, I think Andy was going to put a picture up or somebody. Oh, okay, there's three pictures I want you folks to see. You all know, everybody knows that about 6 or 7 weeks ago, there was a very rough time and still is ongoing in Mozambique, in central Mozambique, with Cyclone Ida, or Idea, or Ida, however people say it. And the aftermath has been pretty rough. And thank you for those who've had an opportunity to contribute in any way to help boots on the ground that are there, which would be Iris Global and other people, but also our beloved Pastor Jose, who is part of us, part of Iris Global as well. And being a senior leader in Iris Global, he has a lot of authority in the spirit from the Lord and a lot of authority in the region and a great leader of leaders. So we have worked something out with him that monies that will come in, and this is a good thing, will go directly to him. We trust him, he trusts us, and we're family. So Iris has been desiring to get a larger vehicle. They've had some issues with vehicles. So there's a new Cameo there. There's a new 4-ton truck. And he wanted you all to see. He sent me three pictures. And he's not smiling, but he really does smile. If you don't know him. So he wanted you to see. There it is. Not really fully filled, but as filled as it is for there. And he went and took a lot of the monies that we sent to actually buy blankets for people who have food to eat, but they're freezing, and they don't have any covering of any kind. They've lost everything. So he was telling me on the phone a couple days ago that this is the greatest need from his perspective. And so if you've not had an opportunity to sow into that yet, you can go directly. You can do it today. Just mark it. Anything coming in, we will assume that you are desiring to put it in Pastor Jose's realm, and he will make sure that more things are purchased that will be directly aiding the biggest needs of the moment. Not that food isn't important, but there are a lot of humanitarian agencies around the world that are providing food. So there are a lot of needs. They need everything. But the greatest need, from what he told me, are blankets. So he wants to buy as many as he can get his hands on in Maputo. So if you want to sew into that, and he decides to buy shapas as well for housing, he also has done that. There we go. And taking water, clean drinking water. But there's room, as you can see. And there's, well, you saw the kind of the finished product, but they're going to bring this vehicle back and do it again. So that's what we would offer to you folks, and we would just invite you to do that. You can go to the general or the international page on our Facebook or on our website, and you can go to frontline-ministries.org and then /give, and then you can just put Pastor Jose Relief, Mozambique Relief, or whatever, because the needs are still there. Many of you may not know that a few days ago, another storm came and another cyclone hit in the north. This is a very, very large African country, so it's not small. Like, Ghana is small, the size of Ohio. I don't know the exact square miles, but it's huge. Mozambique is really long, and another cyclone hit just close to, hit the base and north of the base of Pemba. Pemba is the headquarters for Iris Global, and it's up in the province of Cabo Delgado, and there's only one more province north of that. So it's really up at the top. So it was just kind of a looming thing, like, oh no, another one on a scale. It's a scale 4 cyclone. And so the good news is that as of at least this morning, I have not heard of any deaths in the base area. But there are people who are struggling, and there are 4 to 5 rivers. And I can't name them. But anyway, it's constantly raining, and they're due to overflow and cause a major problem. The winds have died down, but the flooding is, it's still raining voraciously. So we want to pray that this will turn for them, so that the extreme circumstances that were going on and have been going on in northern or in central Mozambique would not continue in the north. So we just want to stop right now and add our voice and ask, call on God's mercy. I texted Heidi a couple days ago to share our heart and our love with her, and her response was, thank you, of course, but also we need the mercy of Jesus for this nation. So we just want to gather together here and lift this up to the Lord. So, Father, we just praise you and thank you this morning for what you've done to save lives, what you've done from your kingdom heart, what you've done because you're faithful, God, and you're the protector. You're the desire of the nations. You're the one who sees all things through. Everything is from you, by you, for you, through you. Lord, understanding all these things takes supernatural wisdom from above, and we're asking, God, for that revelation to come so that we can understand more. But in the meantime, Jesus, we call on your mercy, and we thank you, Lord, that whatever you have in store, Papa Jesus, Papa God, Papa Holy Spirit, all together as our divine Godhead, whatever you have in store are great things for the nation of Mozambique. And all eyes are on this nation right now, especially with this new cyclone on top of everything else. So thank you, Lord, that our eyes will see. We will not just put a Facebook post, that we will do something, that we will be moved to prayer and action. So we thank you, Father, that our team will go in July, and we'll see where you put us and what you want us to do. But Father, we thank you in the meantime that we can sow into these desperate situations from our own resources and finances and spread the word. So thank you, Lord. Father, I know that all of us are asking you, what should we do? And you're telling us, do what you want to do. And we're getting our marching orders from you, but everything belongs to you, Lord. So Father, as we're very comfortable here, we praise you for that. We praise you for this country. We're blessed. We ask you to show us, God, and stir us up for how we can make a difference, really make a difference where it costs us something. So thank you, Lord, and we call for this rain to end in Jesus' name, that's bringing such destruction, God. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your sunshine to come and for people to hold fast. And Father, that they would cry out to you, those who are on the edge, those who are scared and fearful and everything else that's going on in their hearts, that you would be their source, that you would provide provision for them, that they would find comfort and hope and peace in you. So we thank you, Lord, that they respond to you first and that you send your first responders. Thank you, Father, for the nation of Brazil sending just huge groups of firefighters, firemen and women, to go and rescue people because they can speak the language, to rescue people from these desperate situations, God. So sustain them, Lord. Many have been in trees and just the whole nine yards of what happened in the middle of the country. The same thing, God. So we're asking, Lord, that you would move on the heart of the nations surrounding and the whole world would step in. And thank you, Father, that you've given such strong connection with PJ and that he can be used in such a mighty way to take care of natural needs but also be such a spiritual barometer for hope. So we thank you for that. Bless him and Linda and the kids in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then also there's thing that happened this morning. It was kind of funny. I already told the mission team this morning, but I was awakened pretty early, and I was down having time with the Lord. I was in the kitchen, and I had my Bible out, and I got a cup of coffee, and I thought, oh, good, because I'm going to be preaching today, so is there something you want to share with me? Plus, I wanted to just have time with him anyway, aside from that. So there's the newspaper sitting on the dining room table, and I looked at it, and I was really drawn to read it, and I was like, this is weird, because I like to read the paper. But I didn't want to read the paper this morning, but I was really drawn. At first I thought, I gotta rebuke that thought. I don't want to read that paper. I want to focus on the Lord. So it's like, why am I rebuking this? I'm in the spirit right now, so what are you doing? So I picked it up, and I opened it. And you know, in the paper it says thought for the day or verse for the day. Well, the verse for the day was Proverbs 29:25. And it says, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Let me read it again. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. So I just thought, oh, well, that's cool. That's really true. I agree. I'm not walking in that, God, but I know, you know, we need to stand for the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Well, this week, the Lord's been showing up in a lot of different ways and touching my heart and increasing his presence in the area of the fear of the Lord. Not that this is not the first time, but the Lord is just increasing, saying, "This my spirit is upon you, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord lives in you. And so there's something that I want to do in this season." So I was going to ask Lawrence, but he's not here. He's teaching. Okay. But anyway, at the end of what he was mentioning today, which was really good, falling on the heels of last night, which was Cynthia and Carly, which was amazing. And we had others throughout the weekend. Andy was Friday night, and Jamie was Saturday morning. Did I miss anybody? That's pretty good. Okay, pretty good. And a lot of impartation in between and worship and crazy good stuff that was going on. So I was very, very excited to have time with the Lord, and I wasn't really thinking, truthfully, of making this morning session early at 8:30. Well, it's not that it was early, but for me, I was going to stay home. So after I saw this little blurb in the paper, you know, I sat down and I was opening the Word and talking to the Lord and praying and all that. And I hear this, go over there, you need to be there. It's like, oh, okay. So Papa Bill walks by and, you know, he's like, are you staying here or going? And I said, I need to go. I need to be there. So I walked in right at the beginning of when Lawrence was starting, and he gave this amazing word from Deuteronomy chapters 9, 10, and 11. It was really powerful. And it was really talking about the promises of God and what interrupts that, you know, from the perspective of the Lord in the Old Testament and how his favor has been on his own chosen people. It was really good. And how that would transfer over to us as children of the King, as those who are a holy priesthood and a chosen generation. It was very, very good. So as I'm listening to this, he whips out this book that he tells that it's a novel that he uses to speak to or to read to the kids, to the LipTech kids. And he sits in the hallway and then reads this book, whatever it's called. And so as he's reading a little bit to us, because he's talking about Noah and how Noah, this is not Noah LipTech, but Noah in the Bible, and how Noah had marching orders from the Lord to go and build an ark when there was nothing like that even in his grid. There wasn't even rain. He didn't understand. No, he didn't even know the concept, but he knew the voice of the Lord, and the Lord said, here's what I want you to do, and here's how I want you to do it. So he needed a yes from Noah, and then there was a process that Noah was going through. So there's a lot of added stuff because it's a story. So he's not reading right out of the Bible, but he's reading this story. And so he gets to the point. This is Lawrence. And he's speaking to the team this morning, and he starts talking about how Noah got to the point, you know, maybe with some scripture in there, backing it up somewhere, but in the novel, that Noah got to the point where, okay, he had to get past what other people were thinking. Okay, he came to the point where it didn't matter what anybody said anymore. And when he got to that point, then he was never bothered by that again. And I'm kind of, you know, he read it for us, and you know, some of us wrote it down, but that's the gist of it. And so I'm sitting there going, yeah, that's really good. And he hadn't received the full promise of what it was going to look like when this rain came, and he had to go get animals and the whole nine yards, and you know the story. And that some accounts say, well, it could have been, you know, 40 to 100 years where it took him to actually build this vessel, and with all the people around him going, no, 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 don't do that. You're really stupid. And he's dealing with, well, am I really supposed to do this? And everything in his process that finally narrowed down to one thing that was very important, which was, I don't really care what anybody else thinks. It just, God told me, and I'm going to obey, in a nutshell. And so he just went on. So I'm sitting here, and the Lord's saying, that's why you're here. This is what you want to do. Get up and share that verse. It's like, oh, okay. So I got up. He had just finished, and he invited me up, and I also stood up to be able to share this. And what's really interesting about it is that as Lawrence was encouraging the beautiful ones here at that time to allow the Lord to examine their hearts so that they could walk in the fullness of the promises that God would have for each one of us. I'm kind of butchering this because it was really an amazing teaching. It was very good. But I'm, you know, just trying to cut to the chase here to get into the scriptures. But when I offered that, it seemed as though from what the Lord did last night, there was just this tag on to something else that the Lord wanted to put out there for the team, for them to consider before the Lord when they're taking a step in their identity, saying, this is who I am. This is who he is. This is what he has said. And I'm willing to allow that part of the process has been very painful to come under your scrutiny, Lord. And I want you to know that I am desirous to get to that point where the only thing that matters to me is what you say, ultimately. Period. And it was just, and God used a newspaper, a cup of coffee, that verse. It was crazy. Go, you don't stay here and have coffee and hang with me. Go over there, you know, offer that. He used a novel. He used the piggybacking off of what happened last night with Cynthia and Carly. And I was just amazed. I was marveling at the grace and the kindness of God. He's like, oh, my goodness, he cares about us so, so much. Really amazing. And so after this was finished, and I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to get into a couple of things that you're showing me here, which I'm going to do in a minute. And Ashley comes up to me. Can you bring the book up, Ash? And she says, that's just amazing that you came up with that verse. I was spending time with the Lord this morning, and I was reading the Brother Yun book, and he was highlighting that particular verse. I said, really? Now, this is not a message just for Ashley. This was a message for everyone. This is a message for all of us that the Lord was saying, I don't want anything to slow your boat in any way. I want you to have smooth sailing, but I want you to engage in the fullness of the process that I have you in not your process, my process for you. And it was just kind of intriguing. So I asked Ash if she would come and read the portion of the book. It's just, you know, half a page, what Brother Yun was saying about this very scripture.
It's hard for a person with the fear of man to properly hear God's voice, because he will always be worried about the different opinions and criticism people have. They will prevent you from moving forward and fulfilling all that God has for you to do. This is why the Bible says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare," Proverbs 29:25. On the other hand, he who fears the Lord has secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a foundation of life, turning a man from the snares of death, Proverbs 14:26-27. The world cannot stop a child of God who follows God and walks in obedience to his commands. We need to throw off the fear of man and steadfastly decide to live only for Jesus. We have no right to be afraid of what people think or say about us. In fact, we have no right to even be interested in people's opinions of us. We are meant to be dead to this world and everything that it represents. A dead person doesn't care what he looks like or what others think of him. All that matters is God. For he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Colossians 1:17-18.
Thank you. So I was stunned again. It's like, oh man, God, I think that's the message. This is what you have for us. And he took me to Psalm 118. And I encourage you, let's put that up in NASB if we can. Psalm 118. Obviously before the big long one, Psalm 119. So let's take a look at that and see what the Lord's saying, because it is a place where the Lord is speaking about the spirit of the fear of the Lord and fear of man. And I thought, hey, God, what does it mean for us to be able to consider these things before you? What we heard all weekend was, hey, it's all about the cross, and let's respond to him. And so yesterday morning when we were in worship, Jamie was prophesying very similarly with a different word, but similarly to this morning, the Lord just bubbled up in her and boom. And we were just stunned by the beauty of heaven, because she was encountering him and singing it out. And there's a great place for written songs, but it was a song written in heaven. And it was her song, and it was just sung over all of us. So the Lord is no respecter of persons. So he's not saying, well, you're not going to Mozambique, to Ghana, to Cote d'Ivoire, maybe. And so you weren't at the mission training weekend, so that was for them, and this is for me. That's not how it works. You know, the Lord's pulling us together as a body, as a family, and calling us. And he just wants us to hear what he's doing right now and track with that. Sounds like an easy thing, but sometimes that's not so easy. So let's take a look at what the Word of God says very specifically in Psalm 118, which talks about the thanksgiving for the Lord's saving goodness. And note, as we're going through this, the messianic words of Scripture. Now remember, Jesus has not come yet, but David, as he's penning Psalm 118, he is overcome with his heart for the Messiah to come, and he's writing that out. And you'll see a place in Scripture where Jesus is just speaking through the one who's writing. It's so encouraging to see the heart of the Lord preparing us. It's just filled with messianic hope, messianic prophecies. And in the New Testament, there's reference back to this very psalm. So just kind of mark it in your heart. Psalm 118 is very, very important if you've not really spent a lot of time in it before. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. That's the beginning. Notice the progression here. Verse 5. From my distress, I called upon the Lord. Okay, he's not starting with his distress. He's calling on who the Lord is, and he's establishing that in this psalm. And David, as you know his story, David has had many ups and had many ups and downs and many difficulties and lots of fear issues, I'm sure, that he had to deal with all through his life, even before he was king. So we don't have to go through David's life right now. There's a lot of other things, but think on that because you are familiar with David in this house. Verse 5, from my distress, I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Okay, so he called on the Lord from his distress. The Lord answered him. We were encouraged this morning and throughout the weekend to inquire of the Lord, always asking the Lord, inquiring, and your version might say inquire, but inquire of the Lord, what are you doing? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? He obviously knows we're in trouble. This would be our heart's cry, honestly, for the people in Mozambique, the people in India, the people in all the countries, the people here in Massillon Jackson Township, Ohio, all of us. Lord, what do you have to say? He knows that we're in distress. He knows that we're hurting. He knows that our life might be on the line or whatever it is. He's fully aware. It doesn't mean we don't say, hey, can you see me? I'm just about to go over the edge. I might fall out of that tree. There might be a crocodile down there. Or there's somebody who's acting up in my house and I don't know what to do with it. Whatever it is, the Lord says to us, inquire of me. But inquire of me from a place of your loving kindness is everlasting. In other words, declaring who he is and recognizing who he is. And David began this psalm that way, and it just progresses. So let's keep going here. In verse 6, it says, the Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, that was a verse that saved my life many, many years ago, that I, in a different Bible, you know, I had stars and exclamation points and hearts and help and, you know, all kinds of notes. But that very verse right there was a lifeline and still is for me in my life. And that verse tethered me to the name of the Lord, being a strong tower and the righteous run to him and are safe. What can man do to me? Well, I say, well, feels like man's doing a lot. That's what it feels like. But we were reminded again this weekend that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is always a spiritual battle, but it's played out through flesh and blood, which really hurts. And it's very difficult for us many times, which is why we need to have sanctification process continuing on, as Josh so beautifully put a couple of weeks ago when we were in India, for our mind, our will, our emotions, and for our bodies to come in line with all of that. So I really encourage you, by the way, if you weren't here, to listen to that message, and also Mike McRae's message and Andy's, the 3 weeks that we were gone. There was a progression there. Josh was in the middle, and they're all on the website. And Josh, I still haven't seen your notes. I heard that you have them somewhere that are not out there, so we have to get those, at least for me. So we need to have more copies. But I would urge you to do what Josh says if you choose to listen to it or listen to it again to take another step in this process of changing things within our own mind, will, and emotions in our life. It's really, really, really important for that. But please don't read Josh's Cliff Notes and then go listen to his message. He encouraged us not to do that. So I like to be obedient to the speaker. And so I encourage you to do the same. And so listen to it again. Take some notes. We've asked our mission team, even if they were here, listen to it again. Prepare. Let's see what God wants to do. And the Lord's been adding various components. And as Josh so beautifully put, it's not as though this is all new information, okay? It's like, oh, we've been talking about these things for a couple decades here. But the Lord is he's speaking to us, and he's saying, I'm going deeper in the areas that you have very beautifully offered to me, and I want to help you. I want to bless you. I want you to see my heart Just like David, David was understanding the heart of God, and he wanted the spirit of the fear of the Lord to overtake him, not the spirit of the fear of man. And there was such a place of contention for him with the different struggles and trouble spots in his life, and you know many of them, that he was just being honest on paper, so to speak, with the hope of the Messiah's coming. Jesus is coming, and I don't know him yet, but Jesus is coming in that sense. So the Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? If we believe the Lord is for me, I will not fear, then that's going to look like something. There will be an actual response to that. When we read that in Scripture, we will take it and we will say, okay, Lord, I'm not feeling it, but this is what your word says, and there's power in it. So when Jamie's singing out the power of the gospel of the kingdom, the power of God unto salvation for those who believe from Romans chapter 1, the Lord is saying there's so much power in these words. There's so much power in the true gospel of the kingdom that lives inside of us if we've said yes to God, that the Spirit of God who's in us is so powerful because he's part of the Godhead mixing with our own spirit. He says, if you will listen and take these words, even if you feel squirrely and it doesn't make any sense and it's like you don't know my life, the kids have been screaming and the it's just been rough or whatever it is where you just want to go, oh, we all do that, right? Yeah. And so we're just saying, God, how do we take a verse like this or two verses and then allow them to just become, an atom bomb worth of power inside of us, recognizing that that word already is inside of us, but it needs to come alive. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and the word of God will be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so I need to do something about that myself. So when I read that, I position myself going, God, I don't know what's going on inside of me. I don't understand it all, but I'm in your process like Noah was in your process. I'm in your process like David was in your process. I'm in your process, but I need to know that this is really taking root inside of me. And how can that happen? Well, if you go to Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it said, the time had come, the time had approached. This is right after Jesus got out of the desert. The time had come, and Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and then believe. So that was the order, repent, and then believe. David could not have written this had he not understood that the Messiah that he's proclaiming is saying, and God himself, before the Messiah was actually going to be born, is saying, repent, and I will give you the belief that you need. And I will make myself known to you in every possible way. Read the first chapter of Romans and you'll be like, whoa, really? Yes, he is that good. And that means that even people who are going through the most desperate of situations, and this is not saying we don't need to be first responders or second responders or whatever. We do need to be his hands and his feet. But the Lord's saying, I have designed you with a place inside that is designed to cry out to me. So the Lord wants us to inquire of him, to cry out to him. And then he promises to make himself known and to fill that place. But what we do, we humans, is we come up with our own paradigm, our own way of looking at it that's not necessarily the way of Scripture, because it seems like it's the right way of man, but it's not. If we look at the Scripture and we say, okay, how do we take these steps? He's going to say, well, I'm going to show you the way to humility, because humility is going, true humility will unlock power. And the power to believe is for you. The power to believe is for you. I release the power and the faith to believe. I do, God says. But acknowledge who I am first, and I will show you. So David starts this psalm out saying, the Lord is gracious and greatly to be praised. Whatever your version says, his loving kindness is everlasting. If we believe his loving kindness is everlasting, we are believing that he is ever loving, ever kind, and it's everlasting. It's eternal, period. Even a person going through the worst situation you can imagine, this girl in Shottisgarh or somebody in Mozambique or it's one of your family members or something like that, whatever they're facing that's the worst for them right now, the Lord still says, my loving kindness is everlasting. This is who I am. And he designed us to look up. And we pray for that for people, all of us, including ourselves first. And then we inquire of the Lord. And then we listen and we say, Lord, if I believe that and I'm so sure of that, then I have your ear and you invite me to come into your throne room and I hang out with you there. And I'm hearing your ways, or learning your ways and hearing the voice of you. And I'm being brought into your heart and I'm just, you know, so close, God. I'm going to take steps that are going to cost me something. Sometimes the Lord is saying, I've already spoken. The command is in Scripture. If you're waiting for this, something like, you need to do this, you might not hear that. It may be right in the Word of God. And that includes the right timing. The timing. God, when we put all the components together for how we are to respond, okay, the Lord will provide every component to us and for us. Every component, everything that we need. Case in point, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know about this, maybe you guys heard it, but in Mozambique, for the first cyclone, I didn't hear that somebody thought, hey, why don't we get a whole troop of people from Brazil? And they can come in as firefighters, first responders, because they're really good at this, and you know, this is what we need to do. Maybe they were just caught off guard, like, oh my gosh, we've got this storm and we have this terrible atrocity and it's, you know, it's devastating and it's the worst one in the Southern Hemisphere and it's the worst one ever in Mozambique and now this one's the worst one in Mozambique. But because there has been an experiential recognition of the traumatic situation that was affecting a lot of people, where people are saying, whoa, God, what's going on? What should I do? What do you say about this? How should I respond? I just want to cry. I don't understand. What's going on with these? Tell me what to do. And he might say, well, you know, I gave you all kinds of things. What do you need me to tell you? Well, I didn't ask you that. I said, what do you want me to do? And he says, how much of me do you want? For me personally, how much of you? Wow. So the Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Verse 7. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. So he's equating, this is the NASB, so I don't know about your version, but he's equating fear of man and fear with hatred. So those who have risen up, the spirit behind those who have risen up involve apparently hatred here from his perspective, and which I believe is the perspective of the Lord. And he's bringing this in. It's very strong because there's opposition towards Jesus, the Messiah, who he's going to be talking about. He was rejected, despised of men, right? He bore our shame. He bore our guilt. He bore everything. On the cross, and he was scourged, he was bruised and wounded for our transgressions. He took the chastising that we deserve upon himself, okay? And then by his stripes, we're healed. And I had spent a lot of time this morning not knowing why in Isaiah 53. It's like, well, we all know Isaiah 53, and we go and pray for people, but I was reading that and just reflecting on that before anything else happened. It was the first thing the Lord took me to, thinking about the suffering servant, thinking about our Jesus, thinking about the love of the cross, thinking about his blood. Cynthia challenged us last night, and it was challenged all through the weekend as well. What are you going to do with the cross? What do you really want to do with the cross? Will you spend time? Will you reflect? Will you call on? Will you think about? Will you bring Jesus into your world and your life in terms of the cross and its purpose and the resurrection as a result? What will we do? So it sounds like, well, that sounds like, you know, we could give a little clap for that. But there was a heart-wrenching, encountering type of holy fire that was released over the team dealing with the heart of Jesus and the heart of the Father And God wants us to capture that even in this psalm. What was David feeling and thinking? And he didn't even know Jesus in that sense. He's prophesying, whether he understands that or not, messianically, for what's going to happen. But he has to recognize who God is, because he's loving and he's kind. Every person who's struggling with the flood in Mozambique will be brought to the place of saying, you are loving and you are kind, while they're suffering, while they're being possibly losing their lives, while they're hurt, while they're starving or whatever. You're still loving and you're still kind. That's incredible. But that's the kind of revelation that God will give us about himself for our situation. And it'll pull us out. It'll pull us out of something to allow us to embrace someone else, something else, which would be the spirit of the fear of the Lord, that no matter what, you are number one. No matter what, I will not be a Laodicean member of the church. Number two or three, I will desire you above all else, and I will spend time with you. You know, the things that rise up from the spirit inside of us that supersede our mind, supersede our emotions, supersede our will, supersedes everything. Our soul is superseded by the spirit that rises above. What can man do to me? Thank you, Jesus. It's better to take refuge. Let me go back to seven. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction. In other words, he's for me. I will be satisfied. I will look with satisfaction no matter what you choose to do in this. You are the answer, and I will fight the way you tell me to fight, whatever that is. I will learn your kingdom heart, your kingdom ways. I will be hidden in the cleft of the rock. I will see you as merciful God. No matter how bad it looks, I will see you as just God. No matter how bad it feels, I will see you for who you are. And I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. Very strong. 8, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Some people would say, yeah, you can't trust anybody. You can't trust in man at all. I mean, man will let you down. They're imperfect. It's just me and God. And the Lord says, well, I will give you trust for the Jesus in other people so that you can flow with other people. You have maybe trust issues with me because you don't understand the fullness of that verse. And that's part of the process God allows us to be in, because many times if we have trust issues with the Lord, there's fear of man. And so we may take another step towards trying to get rid of it by being strong and tough. Like, nobody's going to step on my toes. Nobody's going to care about, you know, I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do what I want. And the Lord says, no, you're going to surrender and follow my ways, and you want to obey me because that's who I am. And that's real humility. And there's nothing but arrogance there, but it's just laced in fear. It's fear. Call it what it is. If it's fear, that means that there's no faith. So if fear is present, it will hurt you. It will debilitate you. It will hinder you. And you won't be able to swim in the love of my presence. And you won't be able to step out to do the things that I've called you to do that you're going to love. All of that would be the heart of the king. I want to fight for the heart of the king that's been released in me. I want to fight for that. In other words, I want to step in as a worship lover, a worship warrior, recognizing the battles that I'm in and calling on the one to fight them for me, but at the same time being willing to allow him to have his way in that process, which is what Noah was going through, that, you know, God put these little stepping stones together when Lawrence was doing this today. It was so beautiful. It's like, wow, there's the message, God. That's so cool. Okay, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Okay, take a look. Hold your finger there and go to, and maybe you guys can put this up, please. What was it? Psalm 112, verse 8. Just go back to Psalm 112, verse 8. I was just reading through the Psalms and having fun and going, okay, Lord, what are you telling me? And then he says in verse 8, his heart is upheld Well, let me do 7 too, but 8 is really powerful with it. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. 8, his heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. It's like, whoa, hey, there's that same word. What are you saying? Our hearts are being upheld. We will not fear. We will get to the point of looking with satisfaction on our adversary. And fear is our foe, adversarial towards us, any type of fear. And it's not okay just to recognize it. It's helpful. And then say, Lord, what do we do with this? What's your way to rid my life of fear? Fear of, but fear of man involves people and relationships. It might even involve our children or our grandchildren if we have them. It's like, oh, what will they think? What will they say? What will they do? Surely, God, it must be this. And the Lord is saying, I'm calling you to a place where you can hear me clearly, and I will remove fear. Not where you get strong and tough and is like, I'm going to tell her what's up. No, there'll be a flow where fear is not your portion. And the satisfaction of watching the Lord deal with the very enemies of our soul will bring us to a new point that I believe that Noah got to in this story, interestingly. Let's go back to Psalm 118. Okay, now the battle increases. Look at verse 10. All nations surrounded me. All nations surrounded me. David was feeling like, whoa, what's going on for his own life? But he starts to transition into a messianic release. In other words, prophecy. And we have to have eyes to see it. Don't just read a commentary and go, oh, there's a messianic verse. Eyes to see when the Lord starts saying what he's experiencing and how he's going to overcome is going to frame my coming. And I am prophesied in the Old Testament, and you can use that for your own life and bring people right into my kingdom heart. Because you're going to be able to speak to something they might be able to understand and see, and you'll take them right into the New Testament as well. And say, this is how you're looked at by the one who is always kind. He's loving. He's kind. So if we're feeling as though, my gosh, this fear thing, whatever it is, and this is only just a little drop in the bucket today, maybe, is a big deal. Big enough that the Lord interrupted a few things this morning to make sure that that was covered with an entirely packed weekend, but it's also for us today in this body, for the Lord to really be able to get our attention. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I'm in verse 10, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. Ever feel you're totally surrounded? It might be that you wake up in the morning and there's a cloud over you, you know, and it's not a cloud literally, but it's a spiritual cloud of darkness and you feel like, oh, anybody ever feel like that? You just open your eyes and there it is. And you just feel like, yuck. Okay, what am I supposed to do? I have to get out of the bed and then I have to kneel down and say, okay, gee, we have to deal with that when you open your eyes. What's going on? Where do we stand? What's happening? And what does God say about it? And how quickly can that move, boom, away from us so that we're walking in peace and joy without any fear, with the spirit of the fear of the Lord? Or are we so relegated to, I get up, I go to the bathroom, I check my cell phone, I do, and I don't have time for that, but I'll spend time with the Lord and I'll sing songs and talk about him with him on the way to work. Okay, the Lord's saying, I, as soon as there's an awakening, I want to bring an awakening. That's a good word. Oh, I like that. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling but the Lord helped me. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Depending on where we stand with the revelation of the cross for our own lives, where that is, I don't even know how to do a barometer for that, but I know that's the desire of my heart to want to understand more of that kind of loving kindness that our Father would send Jesus to this earth for me and enable me to be filled up and fiery to go to the nations or whatever he wants me to do, okay, and to love him wholeheartedly with all people. That's my heart. It's like, God, make it happen for me so that I can help others. Make it happen for my life so that I can be an instrument of peace and a releaser of truth and a releaser of hope to those who would like to hear that or receive that. So it's not just for me. It's not just remove this cloud in the morning if there's one there. It's for what can I do with that because you love me so much. I can't operate well with that. And I want to embrace your process. Oh, Jesus. Verse 15, the sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. Here we go. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. And we're talking the Lord, Adonai. We're talking the exalted one, L-O-R-D, all caps. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I will not die but live. Now look at those, the movement from 14 to 17. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. In other words, there's nothing else that I need. Salvation means, it means that he's completely encompassing my mind, my will, my emotions, my body. He's triggering me to be made alive. I will live and I will not die. Okay? That's for every individual situation in our life. Everything. When we leave here, we want to be thinking about these verses. How can they bring life? How can they result in greater life for me so I can be a giver of life to other people? Like the Brazilians who are trained to be firefighters, okay? And they're going to be going and rescuing people. We're called to rescue. We're called to restore. Don't let the Lord ever steal those words away from you. He's a restorer. He says, I'm calling you to be a restorer of the breach. And he says, that's your role. You're a minister of reconciliation if you know me. It's like, I don't feel like that. Doesn't matter. You are. This is your identity. This is who you are. Oh, but I want you to walk in the fullness and not have baggage over here that's weighing you down because you feel a little better over here on this side. No. The Lord's saying this is a time, very serious time. We heard that all weekend. Don't mess with the Lord. It was strong, but good strong. It's like, oh, you're fortifying me. Someone I know and love very close to me spoke words that I needed to hear. I will strengthen you. I will fortify you. I will bolster you. I had to write them down. It's like, who speaks like that? And I needed that. That person didn't even know it. And I have them written down, and I've had to remind myself and refer to those words. You are strengthening me. You are bolstering me. You are fortifying me. Always. Because we're in a battle, and these battles are fierce. A very fierce battle. It's okay, though. I will not die, but live. Verse 17. And tell the works of the Lord. Okay, that was spoken over me by my son when I was dying. And he said, you will not die, Mom. You will live and declare the works of the Lord. When I was dying in that situation in 2009. And I was in my son's arms. I don't even remember it. But I was going down. And he spoke that because he knew that and spoke it over me. No. And you know what the other words were? Fight. Fight. I didn't remember any of it. But he said, I looked at him and like this, like, okay, I don't remember any of it. But that's what I was told afterwards. Fight. Well, how am I supposed to fight? I don't even know what he's saying. But he's speaking to me, because that's what people who love do. And I'm forever grateful for that. Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh.
I will not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. Are we telling of the works of the Lord? Are we? Are we declaring and telling of the works of the Lord? Are we doing that? Are we? This is what we can do when we declare out. But we go through this process in Psalm 118, and then we will declare. And we will help. When we declare, we're saying, do it again. When we're giving the testimony, do it, Lord. Do it for Cynthia. Do it for Chris. Do it for Troy. Do it for Andy. On Friday night, Andy was prophesying over everybody here. And very accurately, actually. It was really fun. And he prophesied over me. And I didn't know he was going to do that. I was like, oh, this is great. And it was accurate, I'm trusting and believe. And it was fortifying. Bolstering and strengthening. He doesn't know that, but it was. It was like, wow. And anyone else who heard that would be provoked. I want that word. Is that true? Yep, you heard it, those who were here. I want that for my life. Well, okay. Good for you. I didn't give the word. So these are marching orders that God gives us to be able to get to these places of receiving these things that matter and count. The Lord, verse 18 now, guys, we're shifting here. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Oops, we forget that part. Scratch that part. I don't like verse 18, do you? That's in the Kryptonite book. I'm not reading that in the Bible, sorry. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Now, wait a minute. Didn't he say his loving kindness is everlasting many, many different times? Didn't he say those who fear the Lord will hold on to his loving kindness? So we want to embrace that, ask for that, and then respond to that, because it will happen. And if we don't recognize it, then we won't embrace. If we don't see what God is doing in those areas where we need it, we won't embrace the rest of the process as easily. It'll be all murky. There'll be confusion. There'll be just, you know, every wicked thing in our mind just kind of just bringing lies into our thinking where we're not accurately discerning the word and we're not receiving the freedom from the word through the word. So God is asking us, take it and go, yes, take it, because your loving kindness is forever. What can man do to me? I want you to release the spirit of the fear of the Lord in me. This is really good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Your word is like amazing. Okay, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. So he goes into a place of thanksgiving. He starts out from a place of thanksgiving and then moves into you know, the humanity of things, but also the reality that the spirit of the fear of the Lord is what's going to be his portion, to help him, to hold him. And fear of man, no matter what it looks like, even if we're confident when we go to our job every day, okay, we can still carry that malady inside of us or be prone to agreeing with it. We had some breakthrough last night that I think was very surprising to some people. It's like, where did that come from? What's happening there? I never thought that way. Wow, I feel better. I feel lighter. It's always good. It's always good when the Lord's involved. He's always taking us to a place where we're going to experience his grace. It's so good. Okay, this is the gate. Gate means this is a place of opening. Open to me, God, 19, the gate of righteousness. I shall enter through them and give thanks to you. This is the gate of the Lord. I will enter through it. Verse 21, I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me. You have become my salvation. So he says, he embraces salvation once already in this psalm, and then he says, you have become my salvation. Through the process, Noah recognized that somewhere in the process, a little bit more. He may not have called it salvation, but he got to the place where the fear of God overtook him, where the fear in any other way of any other person or situation was not his portion. He wasn't bothered again because he embraced the process to get that freedom. Thank you, Lord. Verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected have become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. Now pay really close attention to these verses because we're going to jump to close. The stone which the builders rejected, we're talking about Jesus here, has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. It's all about Jesus. This is messianic. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So Jesus is being talked about here. Jesus is the focus. Jesus is the forthcoming Messiah. Jesus is the one who is the cornerstone of our heart, of our life, of our salvation. He's not just becoming. He is. He is. That's who he is. And David is now wrapping his arms around this messianic call on his life to be a forerunner, to bring and usher in Jesus Christ. How? So Jesus himself is speaking now and helping David see, I have designed you for this. And everything that you've gone through, it's not escaped my eyes. I'm using it. It's okay. It's part of your process. I'm going to show you how to fight. I'm going to show you how to stand. And most of all, I'm going to show you how to love. Because I'm going to release my love to you that's so, so large that you'll be able to press through anything with my love in tow. You need the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Times are tough. No other fear. This is declare war on our arch enemy, fear. Declare war on fear. Some of our children walk in fear and they don't even know it, but it comes out in anger, frustration, or demands, or disobedience, or you know, all kinds of stuff. And at the end of the day, it's fear. Because it's not under the banner of the fear of the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Yet it shall be. But recognize what it is. Tackle it. Make sure it's out of your family line. Make sure it's not part of anything in your life. So it's not transferring down to little people who don't know what to do. Oh, wow. Holy Jesus. This is the day which the Lord has made, 24. But right before that, it says, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is your doing, Lord. We embrace your words of life. Ho! Verse 25, O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity, blessing. 26, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Everything, I believe he's having a heavenly encounter here with the Lord. He's in the throne room. You know, I believe that's what's going on. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar because you are my God and I give thanks to you. You are my God. I extol you. He ends this psalm the way he began, but with much more intensity because there is more definition. There's a process and a definition of the loving kindness of God, what he will do, what he is like, how he will take us through, what he wants to exchange, and what Jesus' purpose is. And if we grab that, we more and more, we will want to fight for the heart of our King. And it will so overtake us that we will be undone, crazy fire hoses for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And then finally, to wrap it up, look at this, 29. Come on. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Do you love this? From the beginning to the end, there's the closure. Now flip real quickly to, which one do I want to go to? Matthew 21:42. Really quick. Then we're just going to look at that and then jump into one other thing. It says, Jesus said to them, do you never read in the scriptures? I just laugh at this. I mean, it's Jesus' words. It's like, oh, sorry, Jesus. They're in red. But he's saying, do you never read this? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, And it's marvelous in our eyes. It's marvelous. Let's just read 43 and 44 because it's in red and it's God, it's Jesus. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. We're talking about Jesus being the chief cornerstone, and Jesus himself, who's prophesied in Psalm 118, is referring and says, don't you even know? Now wrap it up. Let's just flip over to 2 Peter, chapter 2. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Lawrence touched on this as part of what he was releasing today, but I just want to touch on a few things and encourage you to read it. Starting with verse three. If you have tasted the kindness, no, I can't do that. Start at verse one. Chapter two. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Can we read that again? First letter of Peter. First Peter. Chapter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander. That sounds yucky. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. It's like, well, so what are you saying? Verse 3. You've tasted the kindness of the Lord as a baby. Okay, now, verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, which had been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, verse 6. Behold, lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve. Both. The stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And we're going to wrap it up here. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were appointed. 9, but you are a chosen race, and we want to end with this, chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy. You had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against your soul. Jesus. You are going to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Lawrence released that over everyone who was here. That's Deuteronomy 9, verse 1. I'm not going through his message, but I'm going to release that over you, because those of you who are not there need to hear that. It's not just for the ones going abroad right now. Okay, let me read it again. You are going to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you, a people great and tall, because your God is a consuming fire. Okay, that's a word to the Israelites. The first fruit, right, of God saying, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, guess what you get to do? And your offspring get to do that. And those who will possess the land, the ones in Joshua 1, those who will walk their feet wherever they occupy, there will be a dispossession of any entity coming to rob us or any people group or any nation, to rob us from the full identity and purpose that God has for us. So if you want to be a dispossessor, in other words, you're going to come in, boom, and be able to carry the power to displace the demonic realm over families, over ministries, over regions, over nations, okay, over people groups. There's a process, and it's all good because we have the rest of the story that we are a chosen generation. We are a holy priesthood. And we, if we say yes and not even understand the depths of this, and we go, yeah, in our spirit, and then start studying this, and then asking God to reveal more, we're going to become much more dangerous than we've ever been. The enemy knows it. That's why he hates messages like this. Because this is for us to rise. Okay? There's so much more, but we live in America. We have to end. The time is now. So, Father, we just thank you right now.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.